America, there's not a hunger and a thirst for it. Even the large churches in the United States of America is not even putting a dent in our population. And the guy was talking about AI just a little bit ago, or this morning, and this is what he was saying on the radio. He said, our big problem today is AI is becoming so fastly generated that now it is writing codes for itself. And computers are it's not just computers anymore. AI is talking to AI in languages that we can't even understand. So quickly, it is outgrowing its master. In other words, we have created a monster. It has been a help, but it's also become something that is so fast. Do you realize that Elon Musk, when asked about what he thought about AI, and they tell me artificial intelligence within 12 months will be something that's really outgrew what we intended to grow. And this is Elon Musk's statement. They ask him what he thought about it. He said, I don't like what it's going to be. I don't want to even think about what it's going to be. He said, I don't want to be the house cat and it be my master. I'm telling you, we're living an hour right now that you think you got it well. We have never known. Our generation has never known. We've never known. Amen. Great peril. We've never known. We have been the last 200 years in the United States of America. Well, spoiled with the land of the free, the home of the brave. And could a rich nation such as United States die from within? It can. It could die from within. Somebody that was not from the United States was talking to me just the other day, and this was the statement that they made. They made this statement very well. They said, Americans don't realize what they have. They don't realize what they have. And they need to learn to kiss the ground where we're at, because God has blessed the United States of America, but we haven't taken care of the blessings. You need to be ready to meet God Almighty. Remember the Tower of Babel? It was well precise and well intelligence was there. And it's crazy. If you study history, if you study civilization, every civilization that has ever reached where the United States is right now will reach an apex in time where all of a sudden the great prosperous strength nation or civilization somehow or another crumbles. Brother Pirtle has taught world history. He will tell you there's always a stronger, and it may not be a bigger that wins. And I want to tell the church tonight, amen, I'm glad I have great assurance and a great certainty that is beyond this world. While we sit back and feel secure, and we're always thinking, man, it's always going to be this way, I want to just remind you, amen, Jesus Christ went to the cross to redeem us and for us to be ready to meet him. Amen. This world cannot be your home. You better plant your eyes to a higher place and a higher way. And if it don't shake you up, amen, why don't you just study and listen to what the news is saying? And they're not just trying to scare you, but this man this morning played, listen to this, he played a song. The music on the song, the singers on the song were not humans. He said, I'm just going to show you some good that it does. But what bad can it do? Bad, it could take your voice and imitate your voice so great. And it could take everything you got and make it sound like and look like it's you. And I'm telling you, and imitate you and do all these things that where you have nothing in your bank account, every dollar that you have made will be completely taken from you. I'm telling you, we're at that place right now. It's scary, but I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Some trust in horses, the Bible says. Some trust in chariots and things of strength, but we better trust in the name of the Lord. Somebody say amen. Praise God. I want to be ready. I want to be joyful about this. Sister Becky, thank you. I choose to be a Christian. I choose to be like him. Amen. I want that to be in my life. Amen. Would you just thank the Lord for the truth right now? Lord, I thank you. Thank you for your grace and goodness today, Jesus, in my life. I love it. I praise you and I worship you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Thank you for your righteous touch. We give you praise and we give you honor today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to go to Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 3. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Wesley to bring these translated notes to Brother and Sister Perez back there. That way they could understand and follow with us. You don't have to have notes tonight. But Matthew 5 and verse 3 is where I want to read. And the scripture that we're looking at, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You may be seated. What does it mean here to be poor in spirit? Just keep that scripture right there, bro. Poor in spirit. Anybody want to give it a shot tonight? What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Okay. Brother Zach? To not,
what I think poor in spirit is that you don't, your spirit's not wealthy, it's not rich, you're not cultivating it, you're not growing in the spirit, you're poor in the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Meek, okay. Poor in spirit. Notice it doesn't have a capital S. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit, okay? Poor in spirit, poor in spirit. Meek, what was the other? Not boastful. Anybody else? Brother Chad, you went to TBC. Go ahead and answer. Humble. You're right. All right. Izzy, you go to TBC. What does poor in spirit mean? Humble, right? That's. I had to pick on her. Amen. Brother Neil, poor in spirit. You went to TBC. Not proud. Sister Kristen, you got your computer on. Poor in spirit. Somebody that realizes their need. Tonight, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about the poor in spirit. It means those that are humble, humility. Our topic is going to be humility. We've been talking about Jesus teaching in Matthew 5 about the pathway to a pure heart. He gives the Beatitudes. And somebody refresh us tonight. What does Beatitudes mean when he talks about the Beatitudes? Beautiful attitudes. Look at your neighbor and remind them that Beatitudes means beautiful attitudes. And he said, we got to have some beautiful attitudes. Aren't you tired of people's ugly spirits? How many, doesn't it bug you when somebody has what we used to use the word raunchy. You may have never heard that. Raunchy spirit. A wrong spirit. A stinking spirit. And doesn't it bug you? You know, it bugs God. But he blesses those that have a humble spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? The kingdom of God. And we talked about last week and the week before that, in order to have a pure heart, we got to remove some things out of our life. There's got to be some construction. Brother Josh, did you get anything from the email today from me? For the overhead? Okay, it's on there, but that's fine. We don't have to have it. So to be poor in spirit means to be humble. Humility. It's much easier to identify when humility is absent in a person's life. When somebody's not humble, it's easy to identify. You should be under a construction zone, your spirit, at all times. It basically means to be lowly, modest, free from pride and arrogance. And everybody say, down to earth. I believe that's what God wants us to be, down to earth, to realize what we don't have. And so we talked about the process and the pathway to a pure heart. Go to the next slide, brother. So in order to do that, there must be some excavation. We've got to repent. I'm telling you, there's no way around repentance at all. There's no way around repentance. Go to the next one. And the whole aim in Matthew, the fifth chapter, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We want a pure heart, but in order to lay that foundation of a pure heart, we also had to have some other stones there to hold it up. And we have to have humility, compassion, meekness, desire, and forgiveness. And when they come together, the next slide, they create a sub-foundation to hold up a pure heart. Don't you love it when somebody's just pure? Somebody just has that genuineness about them. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God loves it when there's humility, compassion, meekness, desire, and forgiveness placed. And there is that pure heart that is laid there in their life like a foundation stone. The next slide, brother. So today, it brings us to the first foundation stone that we want to talk about, humility. Now, please forgive. Sometimes when I work on this in my office, when I send it to this computer here, it don't get it like it was in my office. So that it's, but humility is what we're going to talk about, that foundation stone that we got to work on. And the key to a pure heart starts with this stone called humility. Without humility, repentance can't happen. If somebody comes in here and they slide to their knees because a while ago they stole something and got caught, and they're running from the law, they come to the altar and they come sliding, oh God, forgive me, and forgive me, oh God. They come in here because they got caught, didn't they? They really want to bail out. Without humility, true repentance can't happen. The foundation stone for repentance is always humility. You got to humble yourself before God. And if you're not willing to say, God, I need you, that's not really being humble. This guy's praying right here, and I put that stone underneath that picture to put it and let it sink in our hearts that we really need to be humble. God can't deal with rebellion, because rebellion is an attitude. Rebellion is a spirit. And you know, rebellion starts with a choice. Rebellion starts with a choice. And go to the next one, brother. We're going to talk about this today. And just we're going to hang on just a moment, but let me get through with this. Without humility, a walk with God can't be obtained. You can't walk with God if you're not humble. You can look the look, but not walk the walk, because you got to be humble to walk with God. Without humility, worship is vain. Worship is vain without humility. Without humility, preaching becomes nothing more than a display of flesh. And without humility, singing becomes a performance. I can remember one time I was at a certain place. Some singers were singing. And one person there, they kind of messed up the song, and all three others that were singing with them got so mad at that person. Oh, yes, I wasn't there because I was in TBC, Bible College. I was a student. They got mad. Guess what? They went to that person and they began to chew them out. Their ugly, rotten spirit came out. That wasn't worship. They were seeking for performance. Hear me. Without humility, singing is just performance. Humility is the number one foundation stone and characteristics that we've got to possess. Do you know this? In 2 Corinthians, it says this. We know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became, for your sake, poor, that through his poverty we may be rich. In other words, his humility gave us access to his glory. We want to be like Jesus, don't we? Luke 9:58 said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests. But Jesus didn't even have anywhere to lay his head. He was an humble man, a meek man. Luke 4:11 says, for whosoever exalted himself above shall be abased, and he that has humbled himself shall be exalted. Isn't it crazy? You look at it, the humble God's going to lift up. But those that are filled with pride, it's just, I want you to think of somebody that is full of pride, who really thinks they have arrived in life. They're going to tumble over because their pride has went to their head and they become overbalanced. Philippians 2:8 says, Jesus being fashioned like, found in a fashion like a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Jesus did it for you, that you could live. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves therefore in the mighty hand of God, that God will exalt you in due time. Tonight, there's a picture up here. And the most vital living for God characteristics are these three H's: honesty, humility, and what's the third one? I want you to realize that heart right there, the channels of that heart has to have honesty, humility, and hunger inside of it. I want you to understand that this is applicable to everyone regardless of age. I don't care how old you are. Your spirit matters. Your attitude matters. I don't care your color, your gender, your background, your social status, or whatever. Humility is equally important as honesty and hunger for God. You know, honesty without humility stinks. Hypocrite people can fake humility and be dishonest. You ever seen somebody who wanted to pretend they were humble? Oh, what a difference. When there's pride versus humility. When somebody has pride and it's, I'm telling you, you could recognize when, and you could define humility when it's no longer present in somebody. Have you ever seen somebody who really thought there was something, that thought they had arrived, but they really didn't arrive? I mean, has ever observed somebody that way? You let them, I mean, something happened in their life where they feel like they're better than somebody else. They feel like they're more superior than somebody else. And you watch them, what we say, have a swelling head or a swelling attitude, to where they get to that place where pride begins to eat them up, to where they can look around and feel, I'm better. I want to tell you, not one of us is better than the other. Because we come through the same door of salvation, and it's humility. Amen. You got to keep yourself humble in the sight of God. Let me say this today. Amen. We're not better than anybody. Sometimes we're bettered. We're bettered because we've learned the keystone of humility. I want you to think about some things about pride. Brother, next slide, I believe. When pride is versus humility, there's a battle. A battle, a difference. There's a difference between people that are proud and who think that they're sophisticated. And when a church begins to get, and individuals begin to get to that place to where they really feel that they're entitled, that they don't have to worry about praying, they don't worry, they don't have to really have a respect for the things of God no longer. They think by their good merit they could go to heaven. I want to tell you, if you go to heaven, it's because you intended to go. You made up your mind to humble yourself every day. You cannot make it to heaven with pride and rebellion. You see, pride begins to breed rebellion when a person feels that, I don't have to do that. I've had people, you talk to them, you try to explain something to them, and they feel better even than the shepherd of their soul, the pastor or the word of God. And they start telling me, I don't think that's for today. And I've looked at them and go, but it's very plain. It's very plain this book is still for us today. And where people begin to look at you like you've fallen off the turnip wagon and think you're crazy as a pastor because you begin to teach some things. Man, pride will take you for a ride, won't it? Think with me. I want you to understand some things. Next slide. What pride will do. I want you to look at it. Things to consider about pride. Number one, what does it say? Number one, somebody read it for me. God will resist the proud. God will resist the proud. God cannot stand the proud. Those that feel that they don't need God, that they don't need the things of God. The proud heart, God will resist. Number two, one of you ladies on the front row, read it for me. Number two, God hates pride. Everybody say, God hates it. He despises pride. Number three, somebody right here in this section, read number three for me.
God humbles the proud and elevates the humble.
God will humble the proud. I want you to pay attention. The proud feel like they don't need the things of God. They don't have to pray. They don't have to live for God. They feel like they don't have to have authority in their life or accountability. That heavy word, accountability. Believe me, God keeps good records. God humbles the proud, but also he elevates the humble. Number four, somebody on this side, read it. Number four. God loves the humble. Are you thankful that God cares about us? God loves the humble. Number five, right over here, somebody over here. God helps the humble. Are you thankful that God helps those that would humble themselves before him? Yes. Number six, this section. God defends the humble. God will have your back when you bow your heart to him. Number seven, over here. Somebody from this section. Pride goeth before destruction. Pride goeth before destruction. I want you to look at somebody and say, that's God's word. I'm telling you, that's God's word, and that's what God does. Let's go to the next one. In the carnal realm, pride tells you, and the spirit of pride says, be aggressive. Be aggressive. Get in their face. Be aggressive. Be assertive. Be that one that just demands your way. That's what pride says. That's what the carnal realm says. And the carnal realm says, have self-confidence. You could do it. You don't have to worry about those old fogies. What's the next one? Make sure nobody takes advantage of you. You know, when you live for Jesus, I'm telling you, you better have skin like a rhino. Hear me. You better have skin like a rhino, but you better have a forgiving heart. People will do you wrong. People in the church, or say they're in the church, would do you wrong. But Jesus said, if your brother offends you, you got to forgive. How many of you have been hurt before? I've been hurt. You know, you got to have a thick skull. You got to have a thick skin. Even to be a pastor. Man, I get hurt. I get hurt many times. I mean, people will stiff you, so to speak. People will do you wrong. And people that you love and you pray for will look at you and, I mean, no, they don't care what the end result is. They don't want to be accountable. I mean, they want their pastor there, but they don't want to be there for their pastor. They want their pastor to go, oh, Brother Crosswhite, we need you right now. Oh, we need you. But it's amazing when the pastor needs them, where are they? Well, you got to have some thick skin, not just to be a pastor, but to live for God. What the world says, fight back, get even. I'm telling you, the carnal realm says you better grow some big teeth and you better get back, get in their face, get back at them, get even. The next thing is put yourself first. Don't let anybody get ahead of you. But we see that so much today, don't we? And this last one, it doesn't matter what others think. Or I have people say, I don't care what they think. I do care what other people think. I want to represent Jesus. I care what he thinks about my soul. But when people say that, generally, they do care what other people think. Or else they wouldn't get on the stage of theatrics and make such a trauma and drama with their life. They'll make a big show. It don't matter what other people, I won't tell them what I think. Oh, I'm telling you, pride will take you for a ride. A rebellious spirit, a rebellious attitude, God hates it. And that's one of the things we're trying to move it out of the way, because we're aiming for a pure heart. Next one, brother. Pride will destroy you. Hear me. Pride will destroy you. In the spiritual realm, sorry, my computer and this one is a little different, but humility in the spirit realm is, humility is the key. Humility is the key in the spiritual realm. Consecration is required. You got to be consecrated to live for God. You got to keep yourself dedicated to the things of God. Hear me. The next one, prayer and fasting. Nobody wants to pray. Nobody wants to fast. I mean, before church, man, there's some people out of respect they'll sit there, but we got to do more than sit around, folks. We better get business. We get to business in prayer, not just before church. You can tell those that don't have a prayer life because they don't pray before church, they don't pray during church, and they don't pray after church. But we better pray, don't we? Next thing, meekness. In the spiritual realm, there's meekness. I'm going to say this tonight. To the world, Brother Darrell, meekness is weakness. But to Jesus Christ, meekness is something that he wants us to have, my Lord. I want to have a pliable heart, a pliable spirit. And we got to have the attitude of a servant. An attitude of a servant. So pride will destroy us. I want to say this tonight. Please catch this. If you can't catch anything, you need to be very afraid of pride. Be very afraid of pride. Hear it again. Be very afraid of pride. I want to tell you why. Pride turned the highest orders of angels into devils. The highest glory covers. The angels' pride got a hold of Lucifer and one third of the angels and turned angels into devils. I'm telling you, don't let pride take you the wrong direction. Even our original parents, Adam and Eve, were injected and infected with the poison of pride. Hear me. Sin entered the human race, and it started resulting in different spirits. I want you to think what started to happen. Adultery, fornication, perversion, lasciviousness, wickedness, murder, slander, deceit, witchcraft. Pastor, I'm not going to go to no witches. But if you've got a rebellious spirit, the Bible says the sin of witchcraft and rebellion are just alike. Sorcery, thievery, lying, envy, malice, strife, jealousy, hatred, covetousness, homosexuality, heresy, seditions. Jesus, he began to emphasize that you've got to have a pure heart. In order to have a pure heart, you've got to have some things removed out of your life. Then he said, Paul writes to the church, every corrupt thing imaginable is now before us. How sick our generation and our world has become away from God. At the finest hour, our generation has become so corrupt. Pride focuses and says, look at me. But humility says, look at him. Look at what he does. I want you to notice people who dress to get attention, in the wrong way. They reveal an inward problem of pride. And pride must be removed before the grace of God can really work inside of a soul. We got to dig some things out, don't we? To put some things of God in. It's time to have excavation, humility. We got to dig out some things that the foundation stone can be laid in our hearts, that foundation stone of humility. Think about it. Pride has to go. An arrogant attitude, a spirit of superiority. What's the next one on there? Number four, haughty attitudes. What about the fifth one? Somebody read it.
Ego.
The sixth one.
I am better than you attitudes.
Read that one again, please.
I am better than you attitudes.
I'm telling you, you got to get it out of you. And the seventh, look at me attitudes. Pride, I'm going to say we got to dig out. Arrogance, the spirit of superiority, haughty attitudes, egos, I'm better than you attitudes. Look at me. I'm talking to us tonight. And you know, I'm not preaching to somebody that's not here. I'm not teaching to people that's not here. But I'm beseeching you tonight by the mercies of God. Like the word says, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want God to give me some renewal. I got to have some things. I got to get a hold of some things, or else they'll get a hold of me. Oh, God, work on me. Hallelujah. Work on me. Can somebody pray that right now with me? God, work on me. God, work on me. God, work on me. I got to be saved, Lord. I can't be deceived, oh Lord, by pride and arrogance and all these feelings and spirits. Work on me, oh God. Help me not, oh God, to be, Lord, driven by pride and selfishness, Lord. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not from thy presence, oh God. You know, when the engine of real repentance starts working and digging, the boulders are pushed out of the way. Things are starting to be removed. The first things has to be pride and arrogance. They're not surface weeds, but there's something that sometimes you got to dig deep inside of you. It's not easy to remove that. It's not easy to remove a hurtful heart that when you've been hurt. It's not easy to forgive somebody that's hurt you. It's not easy to look at people that you know that has done things and said things. But I want to tell you, if it matters to him, God, let it matter to us. Somebody say amen tonight from your heart. Somebody ought to say, God, help me. Hallelujah. Pride that is left in the heart will show up later. Hear me. It will show up in how you talk, how you dress, how you act, how you go, who you associate with, who you get involved with, who you avoid. Avoid the pastor. Avoid the pastor. My God. I think you get the message. On the side of this excavator is a little sign that says, dig out pride. Get pride out of our hearts. When a person begins to say, not my will, but thy will be done. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll say whatever you want me to say. That's a good indication that a spirit is surrendered to God. That old destructive self-will is being submitted and yielded totally to Lord God Almighty. Hear me. God's looking for somebody to dig some things out. Pride will cause you to pray. In general terms, pride would cause you to get up and pray generally, but not really, really get to the place where you really let go. In other words, prayer that is based on a humble attitude will involve confession. If you're not confessing, God, I need you. I'm a rotten person. God, I need your spirit. I need to make it. You're missing it. The level of deep digging is a good sign that you're starting the process of really living for God and trying to get some things out and put some things in. Humility will attract God's attention. He will give you grace and favor to help you in your life. So tonight, that first foundation stone is going to be the most difficult. Humility goes against our carnal nature. Humility is not popular because genuine humility is a rare commodity. It's a rare trait. Our adversary understands what pride does to the relationship of God and creature because he fell because of it. You're going to be enticed. And you're going to be encouraged by the enemy to remain stuck in your selfish, proud nature. Your carnal nature says, humility is a weakness. You don't need that. However, as you start digging out pride, humility starts flowing in. And that's going to be the real sign of repentance and turning to God. That void that seems to be left in your life when you repent, God starts filling it with his presence and his promise. What is that promise? Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This promise is a promise of ownership to a different kingdomship. Not a kingdom of this world, but rather the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Humility opens a door to a spiritual shareholding in a place that he said that where I am, there you may be also. I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. The world sees the price of humility as too high to pay. They just don't want to sell out. But when you understand the value of the heavenly kingdom, the price is a worthy price to pay. To let the excavation begin, that you will say to God, I'm willing to dig out the pride. Whatever I had to do, God, let my heart be ready. I'll do it. If I had to go to somebody, if I had to ask forgiveness, or I have to do something, God, I'll do it because you matter and eternity matters to me. It's time to move to that step, folks, in our lives. I'm presuming that these building blocks that we're talking about will help you begin to lay the foundation for a pure heart that you can see God. I hope you understand what the pastor is trying to teach us tonight. And I look at you tonight as not as sinners, not as blatant, horrible people, but I look at the sheep that God has put in my trust as people that I want to lead to heaven. I want you to make it, or else I wouldn't waste my time getting heart to heart with you tonight. I wouldn't take my time as a pastor to try to teach things that are important to God. If it was all about me, I wouldn't even be here tonight. If it was all about Crosswhite, and I definitely would be in Nacogdoches. I definitely would be your pastor if it's about me. Oh, I could go find a bigger church to perform in. I could find a bigger thing to do. If it's about money, I definitely wouldn't be in the ministry. God has called me to be this. God has charged me to be this. And has charged my life to reach to you, to build you as an individual, like an army that is becoming fit for the battle. God wants you to be fit for the march, for the race, for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. We talked about it. Our world's not getting any better and won't get any better. Just because we have a president that everybody's favoring here in Texas don't mean that our world's getting better. Oh yeah, things may be getting better. But friend, the Bible says it's going to get worse and worse. We need to have our anchor in Jesus Christ right now. What about your heart tonight? Is it full of pride? Is rebellion crept in your heart? Has something come in your mind and your ways that you feel superior? You feel better than somebody else? That you feel you're greater? I come to tell you tonight, God is looking for somebody just to be a surrendered individual. That you could say, God, My will and my way stinks. I need you. Oh, Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the potter's house. I got a lesson to teach you. And Jeremiah went down to the potter's house. I'm telling you, anytime you go to where the potter lives, the potter doesn't live on top of the mountain. He always lives down in the valley where the clay's at, where the silt from the mountain flows down with the rain down in the valley area. Jeremiah had to take a trip down to get a lesson about the real heights of God. And there he watched the potter work on the wheel, a vessel of clay. And as he watched, the object lesson in his mind became vivid. God said, this is what I want to do with you and Israel. And about that time, the potter took that vessel that he was making. On the wheel, he took it, and in his hands, he took that vessel and he crushed it. But he didn't throw the pot, the clay away. He could have thrown it away, Brother Neil, but he made it again, another vessel. God said, that is what I want to do in your life. If it takes God crushing us, so be it. Because the God of heaven, when he crushes us, that means he's going to make us better. I want the Holy Ghost. How about you? I want the word, the will of God in my spirit. Hallelujah. I feel something flowing right now in my heart as a pastor. Amen. God is wanting to speak to our hearts tonight so much. Amen. God's wanting to work with you. God wants to work on you and he wants to work through you. Amen. But would you give God an opportunity tonight? Would you just lift your hands, amen, and say, God, right here tonight, my mind, my heart, my ways. Lord, help me, oh God, that, Lord, your will can be done in my life. God, that your glory can work in me, Jesus. Help me to get rid of all these things that are hindering my heart from being pure. Everything that begins to baffle me, bind me, confuse me, Lord. All these things that deceive me, all these things that take me on the wrong direction. God, I pray right now that you would have your will in my life. Come on, would you let the Holy Ghost right now, would you confess to him, Lord, I need you. Come on, would you tell him, Lord, I need your spirit right now. I need you, God. Pride has got a hold of me and it got a grip on me, Lord, and I need you, God. Give me the power to push away these spirits, these things, oh God. Help me, oh God, to get in tune with you, Lord Jesus. Help me, oh God, that I can give you your will, Lord, that I can be what you want me to be truly. Lord, I love you and I need you tonight, God. But I want to love you, God. I want to want you in my spirit. I want you, Lord, to live in my heart, God. I want your presence in my soul, God. I want your generating force and love, oh God, at work in me. Work on me, Jesus. Come on, talk to the Lord, somebody. Amen. Ask him to work on you right now. Lord, work on my ways. Purify me, Jesus. Help me, oh God. Teach me, talk to me, God. Reveal and identify my heart in your sight, Lord. I pray for your touch. I pray for your hand, Lord Jesus. Lord, I love you and I thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Help me, Lord. Hallelujah. There was a young man that came to Jesus who had everything in life that everybody really wants in life. He had all the qualities that even today everybody wants. He was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. Think with me. He was a rich, young ruler. And he come to Jesus and he said, good master, what must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven? Even though he had all the qualities that everybody wanted, he had riches, he had youth, vitality, and he had authority. He was a ruler. He still did not have access to the kingdom. And he said, what must I do? And Jesus told him, he said, go sell all you have and give to the poor and come back and follow me. And the Bible says he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Think with me. Everybody wants to be wealthy or have money, power, and they want youthfulness. You don't think so? While you're young, it's okay, but all of a sudden you start getting an age. Well, your beautiful hair as a young man starts falling. Or your face starts getting wrinkles. Or your body starts bending over just a little bit. Or your teeth start having to be pulled or fall out. You think, man, where did time go? And everybody tries to look young again, feel young again. And there's some people who spend big money to try to feel good, feel young, and look young. There's people that think, if I have authority, if I make it in life, become successful, I'm really something. But I want to just end it like this. If you're not living for Jesus, you're just a dying. I want to live for Jesus. I want to be all for him. And I want to serve him. Stand with me tonight. Humility. You got to dig out pride and put that block, a building block in your life of humility in order to have the foundation stone of a pure heart. Lift hands again with us right now. Reach up high. Jesus. 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 Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. God, help me. Help me. Help me. God, help me. Save me from me, oh God. My ways, oh Lord, let it please you, Jesus. God, you're the potter. I'm clay. I need you. I need you, Jesus. Help me, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Come on, can you give God some sacred time right now? Can you bow your heart to the Lord and close your eyes and give him some sacred time to speak to you? Give us some sacred time to examine your heart as you examine your heart. Would you give God an opportunity right now to work in you? Come on, can he have that spirit of pride? Can he have that spirit of rebellion? Can he have that stubbornness? Can he have that you've been resisting him with? Can he have that in your life right now? Would you remove it and hand it to him and say, God, I want your will to be done. Let your glory be done. Let your spirit be done in me, Lord. Help me, oh God. Forgive me, God. Help me to get it right, Lord Jesus. If it's somebody, God, that I'm holding a grudge against, help me to get it right. If somebody's done something to me, let me get it right. Let me not walk around with bitterness, Lord Jesus. Help me not to walk around with confusion. And help me not to be deceived by selfishness. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. 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 Remember this. If you don't get a hold of pride, pride will get a hold of you. If you don't get a hold of pride, pride will get a hold of you. And when pride gets a hold of you, it'll take you the wrong direction. But we're not just talking about pride tonight. We're talking about removing it. We're talking about humility. Because blessed are the humility, the humble in heart, poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Amen. God bless you tonight. I want to go to heaven. God bless you in Jesus' name.